If you go ahead and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this afternoon we're going to consider verses 10 through 17. I've read it, but I'd like to read it again so that it's fresh on your mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, or know my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Paul, writing to Timothy, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Father, even now, we call upon you again. We know that we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We need, Lord, for you to speak clearly to us and get past all of the thoughts of our mind and all of the distractions that and all the sins that so easily beset us. Lord, we ask for you to break through and bring this truth from your word to us. Lord, we trust in your ability to clearly communicate with your people and to accomplish your purposes through your word. We don't even trust in our ability to hear, for I confess we are dull of hearing. But Lord, thank you for giving us ears to hear. Thank you for opening even the eyes of our heart. And now would you give us light from your word? It's through Jesus I ask this blessing. Amen. We continue to consider this letter, and we have Paul throughout the letter encouraging Timothy to guard the good deposit that's entrusted to him. He is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and more than that, he has been given a responsibility within the family of God. He is to be a minister of the gospel. How shall he live in light of these difficult days? We saw at the beginning of chapter 3 a description of the difficulty that would happen in this life. And there's so many sinners, so many sins that are pointed out. And I would say that's definitely going to make ministry difficult. Everybody is not going to simply receive the things that you say. So he encourages Timothy on in his gospel witness. He prepares Timothy to face the future as a Christian and a minister of the gospel. What does he need to know? He needs to understand or realize those days are going to be difficult. If any minister of the gospel, or for that matter, any Christian, faces some difficulty, this should not sidetrack us. It should not make us, should not surprise us. You should know that this is a reality, that there's many sinners, people that are lovers of self, they're not loving the Lord. And so Timothy's problem will come from these people, even that have an appearance of godliness, we saw there, verse 5 of chapter 3, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And what is he to do? He's to avoid such people. And I think when we hear that theme, we need to be reminded that the Christian is to be a witness to the world of the truth. But at the same time, we are not to allow, or we are to guard. Timothy definitely needs to guard himself from being influenced by these false teachers that are being described here. And so you and I can also be on guard. Avoid these people. Don't let them get a foothold in your life by any means, because what they are saying is wrong. They have a corrupted mind. They oppose the truth. They are disqualified from the faith, even based upon what they believe and teach. Don't keep company with this type of people. And Paul has encouraged Timothy on who he is to keep company with, or he's had to have a good bit of his time. Who is it? If you think back through the letter, what you've heard from me, chapter 2, verse 2, in the presence of many witnesses, what you're supposed to do, Timothy, is entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Timothy is going to do the work of an evangelist. We'll see in chapter 4. He's going to spread the good news to everybody, but also spend special time raising up other gospel ministers, those that are able to teach the truth. And so the Christian should be learning the truth and teaching the truth to others and being a disciple of Christ. All of you, I hope, consider yourself a disciple of Christ. If you profess to be a believer, then that would mean that you're a follower of Christ, or you learn under Christ. You've submitted to him. And also, we would say that we ought to have a focus upon following Christ, but also of being a witness or making disciples of him ourselves. Timothy, this is important for you to consider all of these things. It's included in the letter. Don't spend your time quarreling. Don't spend your time quarreling, Timothy. Rather, you should have a life marked with rightly handling the word of truth. And so these are some things we have seen in the letter. These are some things. Timothy needs to understand the difficulty that will come from unbelievers, and specifically the false teachers. He's to avoid the influence of these false teachers. So false teachers and sinners are this big category here. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. You see that. Oh, and they're going to be exposed for what they're doing, it says, verse 9. They will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was of those two men, this example that Paul gave to Timothy. And here we go into our passage. Listen to this. Benson says, "But you have a better pattern to follow." Don't follow the pattern of these false teachers, and for that matter, this long list of sinners. You're not supposed to walk in that pattern, in that way of life. You have a better pattern to follow. And so I think what we will see in verses 10 through 13 is that Paul's life serves as an example to Timothy. Two main divisions on these verses, I'm breaking it down. 3 through 13, Paul's life serves as an example to Timothy. And then the final verses, the word of God is Timothy's continual guide. The word of God is Timothy's continual guide. And so verse 10, "You, however, have followed," or have fully known. King James, at least the way I'm understanding it, it has a better translation there. You have followed or know very well my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, steadfastness. You see that list there. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying to Timothy, you know my life very well. You have spent plenty of time with me. Barnes points out that the meaning seems to be that Timothy had an opportunity to follow out or examine closely the manner of life of the Apostle Paul. He had been so long his companion that he had had the fullest opportunity to know how he lived and taught and how he had bore persecutions. And I think that's an excellent summary of what he's about to say. We're going to consider each one of these points. But Timothy knows Paul's life very well. Paul says, you know it. You've seen it. So Timothy knows Paul's teaching. Paul taught what we would say is the whole counsel of God. That was Paul's own words to the Ephesian elders. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Ultimately, we would know that the center of Paul's message is going to be the gospel. He kept emphasizing that over and over again, the saving work of Christ, the cross of Christ. So Paul taught the gospel. What was his teaching all about? It wasn't. These were not things that he thought up. Paul actually was given the teaching that he was spreading and he was proclaiming to others. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. This is very important. You've got to know what example you're following. As you're thinking through this passage, you can go ahead and be asking yourself, oh, who's my example? And be real. I mean, be serious with yourself when you consider this. Who is my example? Who am I looking to for direction? We know that Timothy was looking to Paul, and he's known closely what he was teaching. Of course, the gospel delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. If you want to have the gospel in a compact form, you could find it there in 1 Corinthians 15. Just make mental notes and go back and read that, memorize those texts. For Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12 and all sorts of witnesses. As Pastor Mark helpfully brought our attention to the fact that there were 500 right there in 1 Corinthians 15. He appeared to 500 at one time. So Timothy knows Paul's teaching. He also knows his conduct. It's one thing on what you say, and it's another thing on what you do. And what they say is not always what they do. I think all of us have some measure of hypocrisy or putting on the mask, if you will. But Timothy knew. He was able to spend enough time with Paul to know his mode of life, his manner of life. And as I was considering what was Paul's manner of life, what was his conduct really like, after conversion, I see Paul's life as he was being poured out for the Lord. He describes it like that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 4:6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I'm being poured out. His life was an offering. And also I would say that the things that he writes to other Christians and other letters, we can expect for him to say that truth is for him as well. So when he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Listen to this. What's his conduct in life? How should the Christian live? How did Paul live? To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What was the conduct of his life? I would say Paul lived for the Lord. And Timothy knew this, and this is the example that he should follow. Timothy should follow Paul as Paul follows Christ. We know this picture throughout the scripture. We don't lift up any of the saints and say that they are the perfect standard. Only Jesus Christ himself had the conduct of life which we would say met the bar of the righteousness of God. As you're looking at this verse, 2 Timothy 3:10, Timothy knows about his teaching, his conduct, his aim in life, or his purpose. And his life purpose was to honor Christ. To honor Christ. A lot of these things can almost overlap, but he's desiring to honor Christ. If he has life in his body, that means fruitful labor for me. He wrote to the Philippians. So Paul knows this. Fruitful life. Timothy also knew about Paul's faith. This would be the faith that Paul taught, the body of doctrine and teaching that he taught. He knows Paul's teaching, doctrine, his faith, the faith, but also faith that he professed. Because, again, Paul believed, he trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his only hope. He says that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. That's to the Galatians that Paul said those words. And so Timothy knows about the faith that Paul has in Christ alone. Can't trust in any other thing. You can't learn the Ten Commandments like these young guys are and like Sarah is. You can't learn those Ten Commandments and try to check off the list and think that you're going to fully fulfill the law of God. Because we have sinned. But we can trust and have faith, dependence upon Christ's obedience to the law and his taking the wrath of God, the punishment upon himself. He bore in his body our sins on the tree. And so that's the faith that Timothy knows about. Paul's faith in Christ was not merely for temporal deliverance. Paul saw many times the Lord deliver him powerfully from difficult circumstances, deadly, life-threatening circumstances. But Paul trusted in Christ for eternal salvation. If you just look at chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, here's a difficult time. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. So there, Paul gives witness to the fact that God gave him a temporal deliverance so that he could keep proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. But then verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what is his trust? His trust in the Lord for salvation and deliverance is through Christ alone that this is possible. And it's all the way to eternity. It's not just like God's going to get me out of this difficult circumstance because he said, I'm sure that he's going to bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. So at some point, Paul knows he's got to die, and he actually thinks it's pretty close. So Timothy knows the faith of Paul. Timothy also followed Paul's patience. We see this is all from this list on verse 10, chapter 3, his patience. Paul was patient. We can think of a couple circumstances and we might ask ourselves, how patient was he? But there's no question that he suffered long. He was steadfast, or he had staying power to his life. F.F. Bruce, when he's commenting on this, this word here of patience, basically says we understand the phrase or the description short-tempered. Do you know anybody that's short-tempered? Somebody just raised their hand back there. I don't know if that meant that they were short-tempered or if they knew somebody that was short-tempered. But the point is, let's think about the other side of that. You get in your mind the picture of someone that's short-tempered. Then you get the other picture of someone that's long-tempered. It takes a long time for their temper to rise. Well, Paul was patient. Again, I'm just pointing ahead. We're getting there soon, but chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So Timothy is to follow this example, and so Paul, even a little later in the letter, points him in that direction. One thing that if we consider patience, we know how it comes out. And it's not just waiting 15 extra minutes for the food to get out or something like that. I mean, that could be patience, but I'm saying enduring with someone. Paul taught that we ought to be patient with the weak. And I mean within the family of God. Think about this, what patience might be. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Christ was patient, no doubt. And how ought we Christians be patient with one another, even with the weak Christian? Patience. Again, Timothy knew of Paul's love. When I read of Paul, I think many circumstances make me think that he had to have been real strong in his convictions. He would not back down. Somewhat of a theological pit bull, if you will. I'm going to hold to the truth, and you're going to have to kill me, but I'm not letting go of it. But at the same time, we have to take into the whole description of his teaching and how he talked. Timothy knew of Paul's love. Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdoing one another and showing honor. Now, if Paul can write to the Roman Christians and say, this is the way you ought to live, I'm sure that he's putting that same demand upon himself. That's true for him as much as it is for the Roman Christians that he's writing to. And when he writes to the Corinthians in the second letter, he commended himself to the Corinthians with genuine love, he said. And so he went on, 2 Corinthians 6:11. Listen to this. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. I mean, he gave himself to these people. Do you see? That's a picture. I mean, sacrificially, he's living for the spread of the gospel, for the glorification of God and the saints. We saw earlier that he suffers for the sake of the elect. What love was on display in Paul's life? Timothy followed even or knew Paul's steadfastness. Final point there in verse 10. Paul was a man of steadfastness and perseverance, endurance to spread the gospel. And when you and I think of Paul and his endurance for the Lord, I hope that our minds will go to 2 Corinthians 11. And he says that he has five times received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship. Through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. You know, in the Christian life, for the Christian minister, things might get difficult. We might just want to throw our hands up in the air and say, this is too hard, I can't go on. Paul was a man of steadfastness. And Timothy knew this. He was a witness of these things. Timothy also followed Paul's persecutions and sufferings. We spoke of them some there, but specifically, 2 Timothy 3:11, he tells us, points out some particular times. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Paul at Antioch, you know, he went there and the Jews incited devout women and high standing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. It won't take long to just take a look through. It's always an encouragement and always nice when the Lord gives us one section of Scripture to shed light on another section of Scripture. Acts 13, verse 49. The word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Acts 13, verse 50. But the Jews incited devout women of high standing and leading men of the city stirred up persecutions against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And so at Antioch, you see there, driven out of town. Iconium, there's where they went. Acts 14. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers, so they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and the surrounding country. They continued to preach the gospel. So this is persecution. They're run out of town. Then there's a plot that's made against them. We're going to stone them. And so they were able to flee again by the grace of God to get away from that and continue on. But then they get to Lystra. And Acts 14, verse 19. Look there with me. The Jews came from Antioch. Acts 14, verse 19. Came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So Timothy knows of this. Ellicott says that this appeal to Timothy's recollection of the past has two distinct purposes. So Paul tells Timothy, you know about all this stuff that's happened. You know my life. You know how I've lived. You know what I've taught. You know even my persecutions. Ellicott says there's two purposes. I'm sure there could be more thought of, but two important ones. This was to contrast that life of Paul with the life of this Paul, which he's so acquainted with Paul, Timothy knows it, that's to contrast it with the life of those false teachers, the false men who Timothy was warned so earnestly, the ones who were poisoning the stream of Christianity at Ephesus. And so, like I said before about what Benson says, you have a better example. Don't be overcome by the opposition in the ministry there at Ephesus, Timothy. You have a better pattern to follow. Don't let those false teachers have any influence on you. Let me remind you of, by God's grace, how he's enabled me to live and how he can enable you to live for the sake of the gospel. There's also a second reason Ellicott points out. The memory of the master was to serve as a spur to the disciple. You know what spurs are, right? You ever ridden a horse? The cowboy that wants to have real good control of his horse, get his horse's attention, puts spurs on his boots. They're on the back. They're metal. And all the cowboy has to do is turn his heels in, and that metal goes into that horse's side. And the horse says, oh, I need to do that now, whatever reason the cowboy's leading. So Timothy's going to be spurred on. The heroic faith of the old man was to act as an incentive to the young teacher to suffer bravely in his turn. Oh, the heroic faith. That's a powerful statement. And so verses 12 and 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul gives Timothy again more important information. Guidance as he goes through this life. Indeed, all, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's pretty self-explanatory. That's straightforward. What do we say other than If you want to live for the Lord, that very likely means difficulties coming your way. Persecution. People will resist you. I'm not talking about personality issues. I'm not talking about if you have bad behavior or unrighteousness. That's not the reason that we ought to suffer, we find in the scriptures. But for righteousness' sake, there are many times suffering will come, because verse 13 goes further and says, the evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The evil people will actually think they're doing something as a service to God, if you will, or they think they're doing the right thing when they oppose the truth, when they oppose the Christian's witness and testimony. Timothy, you need to get ready. You understand this, then you can face the future. And so Paul says to Timothy, you know of my Christian testimony. You know how I've followed Christ. But Paul's not going to be around forever. Where's Paul going? He's going to glory. He's going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And his desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. And so if Paul's not going to be around all the time, certainly Timothy can remember and have recollection of these things he's learned. But Timothy needs some way to continue to live the Christian life, a Christian ministry. Timothy has been following Paul's example, but he needs a guide that will last longer than Paul. And so he tells Timothy in verses 14 through 17 that indeed the word of God is Timothy's continual guide. So that's the second part of this passage. First, it was Paul was an example to Timothy, but now the word of God is Timothy's continual guide. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, verse 14, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. As I think about Paul, he's about to pass on. And then I think about Paul in this section bringing attention to the word of God and upholding it before him. I can't help but think of the fact that all flesh is like grass. In all its glory, like the flower of grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This word is the good news that was preached to you. So continue, Timothy, in what you've learned. He's learned a lot from Paul's teaching, but what is Paul teaching? He's teaching the word of God for us. When I'm saying how are we to understand this? Certainly Paul taught the gospel. Continue in the teaching that was given to the apostles. Christ gave it to the apostles. The apostles passed it on and spread it through the world. The teaching is now included in our Bible. And continue in what you have firmly believed. Continue to live by your convictions. Again, most importantly, your gospel convictions of Christ as your only hope of salvation. Maintain this truth. Timothy, continue to live fully convinced that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promised Messiah. Continue to hope in eternal life. Continue in the scriptures that you heard when you were a child. And so, children, I know it's a long day. We're toward the afternoon. But continue in the scriptures that you heard when you were a child. Paul points Timothy all the way back to when he was a child. Childhood, even from then you've been acquainted or you've known the sacred writings. How could Timothy know scripture from a young age? I guess there could be many possible ways, but we do know that Timothy was very blessed to have a Christian grandmother and a Christian mother. And so Lois, his grandmother, had a sincere faith. Eunice, his mother, had a sincere faith. And no doubt they taught him the scriptures. Continue in this word of God. Continue in the scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The passage goes on there. That was verse 15. at the end of verse 15. So continue in the scriptures so that the saving truth about salvation by faith in Christ is continually brought to your remembrance. Don't veer off. Don't go to another gospel. There's not one. Paul knew that Timothy could never get enough of the truth of Scripture. If you, as a Christian, think you've got to the point where you've arrived, the truth is you need to go back to the Word continually and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because of what you believe, what's in your mind, the truth is that your life, living out the implications of this truth, it takes some time normally to catch up. So continually get this truth in and you'll become wise. Put this into practice. And ultimately, it's wisdom unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in the Old Testament because there are many types and shadows and pictures of Christ. When you read the Old Testament, I hope that you will continually looking for Christ and seeing how Christ is on display there. For us, we would say continue in the whole counsel of God. And so this point from the end of verse 15, which are able, the sacred writings, the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I must confess that the Lord convicted my heart after this past Wednesday night's Bible study. I was pointing out the important teachings that Jesus used to prepare his disciples for his departure, but I failed to emphasize the gospel as I ought. I read, of course, John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. Then Jesus goes on and he teaches about preparing an eternal dwelling for all of his followers. And this is what I was emphasizing more so than what I should have not left out. I neglected to point out how the sinner can even receive this eternal life, which is through Christ alone. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus was teaching the disciples the gospel as well as a whole lot of other truth at that very same time. But salvation would be in him and him alone. Continue back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Continue in the words that are breathed out by God. There are plenty of people that I trust their word. I hope you have people that you trust what they say. But there are plenty of people I do not trust what they say. Sometimes we have difficulty discerning. Are they telling me the truth or are they telling me a lie? But there's no struggle with the Word of God. These words are breathed out by God. They are inspired by God. Paul didn't think up the scriptures, nor did any of the biblical writers. Rather, they are inspired, and the writers were men who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, you see. And so continue in this word breathed out by God. Continue in the profitable word of God. The word of God is a profit and not a loss. We all have to make decisions on what we do with our time. And we say, well, is this important? Should I spend my time on this or not? And it's always profitable to spend time in the word of God, to make time. You say, well, you don't know how busy I am. Yeah, I probably have an inkling. You got a lot to do. We all do. It's always profitable to invest in the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, you need the Word. It is profitable. God uses His Word to accomplish His purposes. The Word of God is useful to every person in the world, for that matter. But the tragedy is the world doesn't recognize it. They do not know that within this book contains all that is necessary for what you ought to believe and how you ought to live. If you want to understand life, you've got to get your understanding from the Word. What profit is the Word of God? Well, it's profitable for teaching. God uses His Word to teach. Timothy needs to be continually taught, but also he's charged to teach others. So here you go, Timothy. Here's the lesson plan. You need a textbook? You're wondering what information to pass on? It's contained in the Word of God. These words breathed out by God. Also for reproof. Some have never been convicted of their sins, and they need to be. The Word of God is profitable to give evidence of the sinfulness of man. The Holy Spirit takes up the Word and convicts men, women, and children. Timothy needs the reproof from Scripture to be called to the gospel ministry. The gospel minister needs to know their sinfulness. He's not going to be a successful minister if he doesn't know the depths of his sin. And others need to know their sins. As Timothy faithfully witnesses to the gospel, he brings the word of God to these sinners. The Holy Spirit will indeed convict them. And the word of God gives reproof or proves once again to the Christian the promises of God will stand. Oh, how many times have we been encouraged when we see the faithfulness of God on display in the scriptures? God said it, then he did it. He made this promise and it came to pass. Now, certainly we're waiting on some promises to come to pass, but all of what's necessary for the salvation of the people of God has been accomplished. Christ has accomplished it. And finally, last 2 points, the word of God is profitable for correction. You need to be put back on the right path, Timothy, and the word of God does that. Timothy needed to be set straight. And God works through his word to sanctify the Christian. Again, Timothy ministering to others. He's not going to try to straighten them out on his own power. You ever seen the Christian minister that might try to domineer the people and just forcefully push them in a direction? If God doesn't use his word and his Holy Spirit to direct the people, they're not going anywhere, really. It won't be heart conviction that they're proceeding forward. So you need the word of God to correct people. Timothy must use the word of God for correction. Finally, training in righteousness. To be trained in what is right, the things that are right in God's eyes. The word of God does this. The process of maturing requires continual guidance in the right direction. Training children works much better even if you have an intended goal. If you know this is where I'm going as I'm trying to train this little one. Well, God tells us clearly, this is where I'm going with you. This is the direction I'm training you. It's training in righteousness. And let me describe it all for you right here in my word. God uses his word. And if we understand this, that God uses his word so powerfully in our life to make us complete, the minister, the Christian, that are in the body of Christ, if we understand that God uses his word to prepare his people to fulfill their purpose, that he's, you know, every good work that he's established for them, if we realize that it is the word that he prepares us and trains us with, equips us with, then we ought to be much more intentional about seeking the Lord through his word. It's not really a thick book, to be honest with you. And through this simple study of this week, I've again been challenged. Take seriously and intentionally seek the Lord through his word more and more. This will be profitable. It will not be a waste of time. Any time that you devote to seeking the Lord through his truth. And so application and conclusion, the two big divisions from the text, Paul was an example for Timothy. So all Christians should know the example of faithful followers of Christ. I asked you before, who are you following? Whose example are you following? Faithful followers of Christ. Which faithful followers of Christ are you familiar with? Where we could say that you know this and this and this, all the details about them. Which ones do you have? Which ones do I have? We have many examples of believers in the scriptures, those that walked with God. Christ is the only perfect example. I say that first and foremost. What example are you following? Christ was the first, and he is the only perfect example for the believer. But Hebrews 11 is just a helpful list of the heroes of the faith. Not every aspect of their life was to be followed and to be a good example for you, but they believed in God nonetheless. They were saints. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets. And time doesn't permit us to go on for all of them. What example are you following? Really, you're looking up to somebody, I promise you. Somebody is having influence on you. So my question is, who? Who? The example of the saints, even of church history, is very important to us. I believe that the title is going to be Missionary Heroism. Is that right, Pastor Mark, for the book being printed? It's a book being reprinted for the benefit of Christians today, that the church is undertaking that reprinting process. The example of the saints from church history. So we should seriously seek to know the example of faithful followers of Christ. Timothy benefited from his relationship with Paul, and we will benefit from relationships with faithful followers of Christ. Second point, the Word of God is Timothy's continual guide. So all Christians should continue in the Word of God. Continue to learn and believe the Word of God. Continually bring the Word of God to others like it was brought to Timothy in his childhood. Oh, you know, sometimes we wonder, what should I do? I don't know what to do for the Lord. Teach somebody the truth. Whatever audience you have, whatever person that will come and listen to you for some time, make this the subject. Make this the point. Your soul will be delighted to be such a witness, I can assure you. Continually bring the Word of God to others. Continue in the truth that is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in the inspired Word, the Word that's breathed out by God. Continue in the profitable Word of God so that you can be taught and reproved and corrected and trained in righteousness. One way that you attend to the Word, if you will, is you gather weekly on the Lord's Day and on Wednesdays, and there's Bible study, teaching, and preaching here. You must make use of this. You see how important it is, even from this passage. And also, I would say, seek the Lord when you open your own Bible, for He certainly can speak, and He does work as the individual saint opens the Scriptures and reads and prays and asks the Lord to use His Word powerfully. Continue in the Word of God so that your life might be filled with good works for the glory of God. You need to be equipped for every good work, and it is the Word of God that God uses in this process. So what a blessing of this passage that we can see. Timothy's pointed in the right direction further along. How can I be a faithful witness of the Lord myself? Well, I can look to Paul's example to me. And also, I continually am guided by the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you would increase our desire for you and ultimately seeking you through your Word, because we know that you indeed use it in powerful ways. Every one of us can give testimony to the times that you have brought the Word of God powerfully upon our minds and hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would do that more and more. We know that Timothy is going to have to very likely endure very difficult persecutions himself. And so, Lord, under your leadership, Paul was preparing him. And Lord, even this day, we've considered that we might face persecution for you. Lord, would you prepare us, continually guide us through your Word so that we might be true worshipers. It's through Jesus I ask this blessing. Amen.